This reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 20, on page 111 of the Pew Bible. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw, and he believed. For as yet they didn't understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying. One was at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know that it was Jesus. Supposing him to be a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Just as we stand, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we give you so much thanks for the good news of Easter. We pray, Father, that as we meditate and reflect upon your word this morning, it will be good news to us once again. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please do have a seat. Let me ask you, what sort of story do you think you're living in? What sort of story do you think you're living in? As you look around, as you look back over your past, as you consider your present, as you imagine what's to come for you in the future, as you look around the world at the history of all the things that human beings have ever done, as you look at the news and you see the things that human beings are doing right now as we gather here this morning, as you look at the future of the world we live in and what is likely to come, what sort of story do you think we are all living in? I mean, you can classify stories in all sorts of ways, but one of the most simple is to ask, is it a comedy or is it a tragedy? And comedy in this sense, it doesn't mean laughs, it simply means that things end well. They end with justice, with resolution, with union and reconciliation. If your story ends with those things, you're in a comedy. If you're in a tragedy, well, it's the opposite. Tragedy goes from bad to worse. It spirals downwards and downwards. And the longer it goes on, the more the destruction and the hurt and the loss stack up. So given those two things, do you feel you are living in a comedy or are you living in a tragedy? Which one seems to fit your life? Which one seems to fit the life of the world? I guess if we asked you individually, people in this room, we'd see it differently. Some of us would be optimists. We think the best of ourselves and we think the best of other people. We look at the great efforts being made in so many areas of human life. We look at engineering and medicine and scientific advance and charity work, and we feel optimism for the future. Perhaps we particularly try to feel optimistic. We want to think that we are the best we can be. Perhaps we have children or grandchildren or others whom we care for who are younger than us, and we want the story that they will live in the years to come to be a good one. We trust that it will all end okay. But there are others who will look at it differently, who will look at the news and see the horror of conflict in Ukraine, in the Middle East, the largest man-made famine for many years. We'll look at conflict in Sudan. They'll see oppression in Iran and Afghanistan, in North Korea, chaos in Haiti. We'll see a world full of scandal and abuse. A world full of racism and sexism. A world facing climate catastrophe, biodiversity collapse, a world marked by rampant inequality and seemingly endless selfishness. And then if we're really honest, we will look at our own lives, the things we most wish weren't there for us to look at, the things we are most ashamed of, the things we most regret, the things our younger selves would never have believed us capable of. We will look at these things and we will only see tragedy, because the destruction and the hurt and the loss just seem to stack up more and more. So which of us is right? Are we in a comedy or a tragedy? Well, at this point, I want to bring in that great theologian, Charlie Chaplin. Because although he's famous for his silent films, he did speak occasionally. And he said something once that was very profound. He said this: life is a tragedy when seen in close-up, but a comedy in long shot. It's a tragedy in close-up and a comedy in long shot. And if you're not up on your filming terms, then I guess he meant something like this: that if someone gets smacked in the face and falls over, if you're close up to them, if you know them, if you see their pain and it means something to you, or even if it is you, if you're there in the close-up, then that's a tragedy. But in the long shot, if you're standing far away, well, that's just a comedy. That's just slapstick. Because the pain isn't real and doesn't matter. But I think he spoke more truth than he knew. I think close-up, when you're in the thick of it, sooner or later, life will strike you as a tragedy. But in the long shot, when you can see the full story, life is a comedy. Not because it's funny, not because the pain isn't real or doesn't matter, but because the story doesn't end with the pain. The story doesn't end with hurt and loss, but with justice and resolution, with reconciliation and union. That I can only say because of Easter. If it were not for Easter, I would tell you that life is a tragedy, because I can't see any other way of looking at it. But Easter tells us the story of the universe in which we have found ourselves is, in fact, in these terms, a comedy. We are invited, every single one of us, to let God turn our story from a tragedy to a happy ending. That's what Mary Magdalene found on that first Easter morning. She came to the tomb knowing that she was in a tragedy. She knew it. It was a tragedy on every level. It was a tragedy for her relationships. She had lost her close friend, someone she loved very dearly. It was a tragedy for her own life, her growth. Jesus had been the one who healed her. We're told that he cast demons out of her. Imagine having someone do that for you and then they're gone. What hope for her now without him there in her life, without his protection, his guidance? It was a tragedy for her hope about the wider world. She thought this man was going to put everything right, to get rid of the Romans, to make the world better, more just, more fair, more kind. All her hope for that was pinned on this one man. What hope for that now that he's dead? And it was a tragedy for her spiritually. She believed this man was from God. She put her faith in him. She had trusted his words. She'd followed him. Everything she thought about life, everything she thought life was about, it was all gone. All that she'd believed, all she'd looked forward to, it all seemed to be gone because he was lost. He was dead. And we've all faced how final death feels at one time or another. And the final pain, whatever is the opposite of the cherry on the cake, the final pain for her, his body is gone. She can't even anoint him. She can't even do that one final gesture of love and respect. It adds cruel insult to the deepest injury. I wonder, have you ever felt like that? On one level or another, have you ever faced a tragedy in your relationships? A tragedy in your own sense of yourself, your life, your growth, your conduct. A tragedy in your hope for the world when you feel let down or worn down by the world and the news that we read about in it. Have you felt a tragedy in your faith, in your spiritual life, where you just feel it's all disappeared, feel like you've been down and then kicked? That's what it was like for Mary. Because Mary at this point is still in the close-up. All of that pain was real, but it wasn't the end of the story. As she's standing there at the entrance to the tomb, she becomes aware that there's someone behind her. And she turns from those two mysterious figures in the tomb to someone else who asks the same question that they did. "Woman, why are you crying?" And given all that we've just said about her, you think, what a stupid question. But there's something almost magical about this scene. It is simultaneously makes you weep and makes you want to laugh, because you know what's coming and she doesn't yet. "Why are you crying?" Well, she begins to explain, just show me where he is. Just let me take care of him. I don't mind if you've moved him. It's okay. Just let me see him again. And this stranger says one word: Mary. And she knows. She knows that it's him. And suddenly all those things that she thought she'd lost are back. She hasn't lost her friend because he's standing there in front of her. She hasn't lost her way in her own life because he is still there to guide her and to protect her. She hasn't lost her hope for the world because the king who rode into Jerusalem a week earlier on a donkey is risen. And that means that he will reign with infinitely greater power than anyone else on earth or in history. And she hasn't lost her faith because God has raised Jesus from the dead. Which means he really did mean everything he said. He really was and is everything he claimed to be. And all of this because that tomb is empty. It was then and it still is. The thing that seemed to make Mary's pain even worse was actually the clue that Jesus, that God was about to transform it. And when she met the risen Jesus, Mary moved from the close-up to the long shot. She began to see that there was more to the story. Have you done that? Have you moved from the close-up to the long shot? We're often trapped in the close-up. We have all the ordinary burdens of everyday life surrounding us, and they make us think that that is all that life is. Just one flipping thing after another. And then we add in the burden of looking around us and seeing the world in such a state. And we add in maybe financial worries, pressures. Or we add in pain from relationships that are broken. Relationships that damage us. Harm or abuse. We add in the burden of having to care for others. Daily. I know there are many in this room who are under that extraordinary pressure. We add in illness to ourselves or those we love. We add in all the struggles of aging. And we add in death. And then we add in, if we're honest, the guilt for our own sin, the mess that we are so often make of things. And we put all that together and it just seems like that's the end, like that is all there is. We're in a tragedy. But Easter tells us that these things are not the end. God has a plan to end every single one of those burdens. And the plan has begun. It is happening. You don't have to be alone. Because Jesus is risen. You don't have to despair about the future. Because Jesus is risen. You don't have to fear death. Because Jesus is risen. You never have to wonder whether God loves you. You never have to wonder whether it is possible for God to forgive you and accept you. You never have to wonder whether God wants you in his family. Because Jesus is risen. He has answered all those questions. He has said, yes, I will pay that price. Whatever you have done, I will undo the harm and the hurt and the pain and the guilt. And I will make you part of my family. Right now, we live in the midst of pain and suffering and disappointment. We live in the midst of the mess that we make of our lives and of each other's lives. We live in the mess that we make of the world. But the message of Easter isn't, oh well, just shrug your shoulders and carry on as you were before. Doesn't matter what we do, just do what we like and trust God to forgive us. That's not what Easter says. What Easter says is that where we are helpless, God is powerful. Where we can't mend or save ourselves, God can. Where we can't face death, God can, and he has smashed it to pieces. Where we have made our world into a tragedy, God is turning it into a comedy. Not laughing at our pain, quite the opposite. Jesus is a man who came into our close-up. We have a God who came into our pain. But not so that he could simply commiserate, but so that he could abolish it forever. Jesus has conquered sin on the cross, and he's conquered death through the empty tomb. Which means that he has risen, he is reigning, and he's going to return. When he does that, he is going to sweep up everyone who has ever trusted in him into a new creation where those burdens and pains that crowd into our close-up here and now will all be gone forever. What Jesus has done is incredible. And who he is absolutely amazing. If you've never put your faith in him, now is a great time to do it. Turn your story from tragedy to his glorious comedy. He brings hope, he brings forgiveness, he brings love, he brings purpose. And if you already know him as your Lord, you know his forgiveness, you know his presence, you know the hope and peace that he brings. Then celebrate your heart out today and every single day. Cling to him, and as you do, whatever Monday brings, whatever Tuesday brings, and all the days afterwards, whatever your close-up brings, keep that long shot in view. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.